be filling in today and with the situation with Pastor Dave. We got things covered. He was concerned that we would have it covered. I was scheduled anyway in on the 29th, and Pastor Wilkie is available next Sunday if needed, which probably will be. And you probably know that when Pastor Dave gets back, I'm going to try to make myself scarce. Because it was my idea of the trip to the Holy Ghost. But I'll counter with, we gave it to you 4 years ago. I didn't have to wait until the attack on the nuclear facility. But anyway, we've been getting reports there. They've been living in and out of the bunker at Copernican, I think it is, for the last several days. They spent 3 or 4 days in Greece and had a good time. And as of this morning, they are going to try to go to Jerusalem, which makes sense because Jerusalem is probably the safest place because the mullahs don't want to hit the Dome of the Rock. You know, that would be a world disaster if they sent a bomb around there and ended up hitting the Dome of the Rock. So it's probably the safest place. They still don't know how and when they'll get out because there are no flights. And originally they were going to go to Jordan and get out through Jordan, but no flights in Jordan either. So they're just going to wait and see what develops. But if you continue to keep them in your prayers and then help protect me when they get back, I would appreciate it.
What's it worth to you?
Okay. Some notes here, the Blessing Babies and Beyond. There were 73 families, which were 189 children represented. So this is a ministry, I think, is important. This is all part of making disciples of all nations, which is the theme for today. Board of Ed is organizing a trip to Sight and Sound. If you hadn't been to Sight and Sound, it's fantastic. Fantastic. The fair booth for Lee County Fair begins July 7th, the fair. Open Hands Mission to the Blind on Thursday. And then I got a note, Chili Dogs for Dad today. And I think that's out there. They're going to be there. That's the way I understand it. So happy Father's Day. I'm not going to try to compete with Pastor Dave on Mother's Day. He had such a fantastic sermon. I brought in the mothers and what all they've done. I'm sure you mothers here know how hard it was to go out and build a vineyard and your farm and all the different things the ideal wife did. But he had Mother's Day covered and the law and the gospel fit in there perfectly. But I'm not going to try that fun. The chili dogs, that's not what you're going to get. Is there anything I missed?
In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Reflection with your prayer. Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you with your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Almighty God, merciful God, and holy baptism, you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enlighten our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy upon us.
Christ, have mercy upon us.
Lord, have mercy upon us. And the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us grace to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity by the confession of the true faith and to worship the unity and the power of the divine majesty. Keep us steadfast in this faith and defend us from all adversity. For you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live and reign one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for today is taken from Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to one another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called. And the house was filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of unclean people, with unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he reached my mouth, touched my mouth, and said, Behold, this he has touched your lip, your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson today is taken from Romans. The depth of the riches of wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable and his judgments, and how unscrutable his way. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been the counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him all things, to be glory forever. Amen. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always unto the end of the age." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Our text is God.
gospel lesson which you have before you, but when I preach on the Great Commission, I like to add a verse, John 19:30. I don't think it's in your bulletin, but I didn't tell Nancy to print it because I was going to read it to you. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. In Christ Jesus, dear friends, this morning we want to go back to the cross. Trinity Sunday, I asked Pastor Dave if I could preach Trinity Sunday. He gave me a choice which Sunday because I love the ancient Trinity text, the Great Commission. But very often in my early days, in growing up and in the ministry, that was also Mission Festival because it fit so well with the idea of missions. So I wanted to celebrate Trinity Sunday, which doesn't happen in our church much anymore because we are one of the very few in Synod that still follow the Trinity season. The majority of the church now has changed it to Sundays after Pentecost, no longer the Sundays after Trinity. But in my day, it was Trinity Sunday, Trinity season. The whole half the year we called the non-festival half, but it was about our Christian life, our Christian service, different things in the life of Jesus, rather than following just the holy days. So it's very important. Whenever we want to speak about the Great Commission, all power is given unto me, says, go make disciples, baptizing, teaching, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But it has to be the message of the cross. That's what it's all about. Early in my ministry, I admit, I was from the very old conservatives that just had a plain cross. Because otherwise, it was kind of like idolatry to have the corpus, the body of Christ. But my years in ministry, I've learned more and more that we need to see that suffering and death. We need to be reminded not just of a polished cross, but of a bloody cross like we have during the Lenten season with the crown of thorns there. We need to see what went into the making of our salvation. We need to see the height and depth of God's love for us, that he gave his only Son unto death, that you and I might be saved. So the cross, as we look at it with the body, reminds us of the suffering and death of Jesus. I don't wear that kind, but I wear a cross here that came from a retired Lutheran pastor who was dying of cancer when I met him. He came to my church in Warrenton, Missouri, nearly 60 years ago. And for him, his life was the cross. And when he died, he told his family, "I want Pastor Doutenhan to have this cross. It's made out of four nails, four horseshoe nails." And you probably heard me preach about this about 15 years ago. I preached about the fourth nail and what it's all about. Because to nail him on the cross, there were three nails, one each hand and one through the feet. But the fourth nail on here, the fourth nail is what held Jesus on the cross. If you're the Son of God, come down. How easily he could have come down any moment he wanted to. But he was held there by the fourth nail, the nail of his love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So our preaching must be centered on the cross. Back in the 90s, there was a flourishing church in Chicago, and I wonder if you heard about it. I mentioned it. I had note that I mentioned that in a sermon here nearly 20 years ago about a pastor there. His name was Bill Hipple. It was Willow Creek Church in Chicago. He had thousands of members. He had a budget of entertainment just for 1 year was $14 million. They had every entertainment thought up for the youth and every kind of exercising programs for the women, the men, for everybody, all ages. And they had it all covered. And they had thousands of people in church on Sunday. 30 years ago, I think it was, I saw an interview where they were interviewing Bill Hybel, and they said, your church is fantastic, the thousands of people, and beautiful cathedral here. But he said, one thing I noticed, there isn't a cross in front. And he smiled, he says, you don't understand. We can't have a cross because we might offend somebody. We have thousands of people here, so why would we want to bring a cross in there and offend thousands of them? I looked it up on my smartphone. I'm learning to be able to Google things. And this morning I Googled Bill Hybel Willow Creek Church. And it came under Willow Creek Church, Chicago, Illinois. The next sentence was in red, permanently closed. Does that tell you anything? I don't know how it all happened. I have no idea. But that's not the way you build a church. You don't entertain people in a church. You don't offer rewards for coming. You don't tell, hey, you're going to be happy going out of here. I want you going out of here feeling the weight of your sins, but a forgiven sinner. That's what it's all about. That's why we come here. Not to be patted on the back and say, you are such a good, solid Christian. If you're offended by the cross, you have a real problem. So we want to go back again today to the cross. Want to go back and look at that love God had to imagine there's no greater love. Years ago, I used for instruction class a film strip series. And they had different pictures to bring out different things in the theme for the day. And on this one, they had God is love. And then little and God. Big picture, it was the face of Jesus on the cross with a crown of thorns and blood and sweat running down his face. God is love. And that's what it's all about. Our message must be law and the gospel. And this message today, the Great Commission, is for all the young and the old, the ministers and the lay people. You know, we're a serious time in our church today. We need ministers. We're crying and praying and begging for pastors, but they're getting less and less. It's harder to get a pastor. But the other sad thing is sometimes harder to get the lay people to speak up for Jesus. Go. Make disciples. That's not just for ministers. That wasn't just for the 12. It wasn't just for the 300, the 500, the 5,000. That was for every Christian. Everybody who is redeemed in the blood of Jesus has the commission to go and make disciples. How important. That's our life, our ministry. Now, I did something I haven't done before. I went through, I have a pastor's book every year, and it's got activities and whatever we've done, and then at the end of the book there, to tell you the things that happened in different meetings you what to judge. So I went back over my 63 years in the ministry. 5 years of those were spent in the Philippines in mission field. And I counted up every conversion I had made since 1963 when we went to the Philippines. Would you have any idea? Anybody? Somebody said zero. Zero. We can't convert anybody. No man can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So you say, how can I do it? You don't do it. What you do is bear witnesses. Bear witness. You also are witnesses. Make disciples. How? By telling the people. Sometimes it's just, would you come to church with me? Sometimes you don't have to go through all the details, but just come and hear. Remember the woman at Jacob's well, the one that was arguing with Jesus and had all the husbands, and now she wouldn't even marry her witness? Come and see the one that told me all about my sins and forgave me. That was her mission, her ministry. And then people came and they listened to Jesus, not by what the woman said, but his word of life. So that's what we're to do. We're to go in the world and preach the gospel. Not just the law of the gospel. We have to make that clear again from what happened to that church in Chicago. You can't entertain people in the church. You have to show them their sins. The law means nothing without the gospel, but the gospel is meaningless unless you know you're a sinner. That you need the message of forgiveness every day in your life, and then go quickly and tell. Because God wants all men to be saved. And we look at the world today, and what a mess. You have never seen it this bad. I have never seen it this bad because it's never been this bad. What does it tell us? Do you ever look at the over and over about the last days? What's it going to be like? Men's hearts failing them for fear of what's happening in the world. When they're out of control, you don't know what the rain is falling, the tornadoes are coming, and everything is happening. Again, sign of the time. What's another? Wars and rumors of war. Look at the wars and rumors of war. Look now in the Holy Land. They're fighting for their lives. Because Iran has not said, maybe we are going to wipe you out. When this nuclear bomb is done, we're going to wipe you out. Not a maybe. No question about it. They openly say it again and again. And the chance that we've heard in our nation, coast to coast, that we're going to take over the world from the river to the sea. You remember them talking about that? That means Jordan River, where Israel starts, to the sea, the other side of Israel. In other words, they intend to totally wipe out Israel. And then after that, they made it clear. Then after that is the great Satan. And who's the great Satan? America. They have made that clear. We're coming next. Matter of fact, right now they're saying, we're going to come after your bases. This was just yesterday, I think. They made that deal. We're going to come after the American bases. So you think there's not wars and rumors of war? Men's hearts failing them for fear, and the only thing we have to hold on to is the cross, the message that Jesus did, the Great Commission, in light of the cross. It is finished. You throughout the years our church has developed, I would say, hundreds of evangelism programs. Any of you over the years went through different ones where you have different presentations you make and different programs and different ways to minister. And if you were to die today, what reason would you have to tell the Lord you should be in heaven? All these different programs. But the programs are not what's going to save people. It's the witness of the law and the gospel to let them hear, make disciples by speaking the word to the world. Let them know there is something besides this world. We know the world might not be here tomorrow. We know that we might not be here tomorrow. I was talking to Dick Furkey just a few days ago, and you know his condition is very severe. And I said, you know, Dick, you and I have something in common with the rest of the world. With the rest of the world. You know, the Lord said we have 70, which is 70. If by reason of strength get to be 80, yet are your days troubled and sorrow. And I said, I've been here 88 years. You've been here, I don't know, 80. How many of you celebrated their 62nd wedding anniversary? 60, was it? Anyway, one of their wedding anniversaries. But I said, you and I are in the same position of everybody around us. Not one of us knows if today is our last day. With the situation in the world, with the sign of the last days coming upon us, we never know which day it will be. Therefore, like Isaiah talked about today, while you hear his word, while you hear his voice, you must answer, you must hear him, you must accept, which you can only do through the power of the Holy Spirit. I can't force anybody in the church. But we need to talk about sin. We need to talk about the love of God. We need to talk about forgiveness. And we need to be about making disciples. Everybody has a part in that. That report I had on the babies, that's part of it. Every time the candlelighter comes up, lights the candle. The ushers come up here. The organist plays the organ. The choir gets in the loft. All the officers of the congregation. This is all part of it. These are all parts of being a missionary. These are parts of making disciples because it's done through the church, and we are all part of the church. All because of Gethsemane. That's where it really started. My favorite Lenten service, and I talked to Pastor Dave, he did have it several times. Go to dark Gethsemane, all who feel the tempter's power. Your Redeemer conflicts thee. Watch with him one bitter hour. Turn not from his grief away. Learn from Jesus Christ to pray. Calvary's mournful mountain climb, there adoring at his feet. Mark that miracle of time, God's own sacrifice complete. It is finished. Hear him cry. Learn from Jesus Christ to die. It's victory. And victory in Gethsemane, remember? Where he was praying, asked the disciples to pray with him. Just come watch and pray with him. They fell asleep, but he was praying. Father, if there's any way, if there's another way to redeem the world, don't make me drink this cup. Let this cup pass away from me. Nevertheless, Father, if it is your will, I will drink the cup. And you know what was in the cup? It was the cross. And he drank the cup of cross. As he was hanging on the cross there, just as he was ready to die, he said, "It is finished." That wasn't that he was defeated. "It is finished" was a victory cry. "It is finished. Your salvation is complete. I am one. I have crushed Satan's head. And now through me, you can live. You can have forgiveness in life everlasting through the blood of Jesus. You are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of a lamb without blemish or spot." And he gave this commission to the church. So he gave it to each one of us. Looking back at those evangelism programs of how to win one, and then one pastor years ago said, "I got the perfect for this year. It's going to be, you don't have to have a book. You don't have to memorize a book, what to say and when to say it." He said, "This year our theme is each one retort." Did you ever think how the church would grow if each one would reach one? Not convert, reach one. Witness to them, because the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to convert. But now he does it through the church. And through the church, oh man, the church, what a miserable bunch of sinners we are. And it's in our hands now to reach the world with the gospel of forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And what happens to the church? The more solid the church gets in their faith, the more they are resisting the world and their own flesh, the more they are becoming strong in the Word, guess who's out there roaring around? The devil, as a roaring lion, is walking around trying to reach you. Those whom are steadfast in the faith. We need to remember that here at Trinity Lutheran. I wasn't at a meeting Sunday, but I understand there were some hard feelings at a meeting Sunday over a playground. Whatever and whoever, we don't want to break up a congregation over anything like this. The devil wants to. He said, "Oh man, that's the way. Let's get them all stirred up and get them to disagree on this." We need to be united on Jesus. That's what it's all about. Be united in our ministry of let people know that Jesus died and rose again and is coming again. Not a social gospel. It's not just for the rich, not just for the poor, but God wants all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And we're to shout it out wherever we go. We need pastors, yes, but we need lay people that are willing to preach. I don't know how long, I'm probably a little longer, but I'll just tell a little bit how I ended up in the ministry. When I was in the seventh grade, I was at the little Cuba, Missouri, was congregation, and I was in the first year of junior confirmation class. We had a missionary from Guatemala that was teaching the class, and he showed some slides of Guatemala. I was fascinated where he was reaching his Sunday schools around and reaching children with the gospel, and I was fascinated about this, and then had mission festival and go make disciples, and I was all agog about the gospel. But then when I was in the eighth grade, the year I graduated valedictorian of my high school class, because the other guy had the measles then, which is true. But in the eighth grade, the LWML said, "Hey, we're going to support. We want Johnny and Andy and Herman to go to Concordia, Missouri and start studying to be pastors." And the idea, you go to Concordia, Missouri after eighth grade for 4 years, Then you stayed there for two more years in pre-college. Then you went either to Fort Wayne for 2 years and St. Louis for four, or whatever, how it was. They're telling me that I'm a barefoot boy in bib overalls down here in the Ozarks. I'm going to be gone from home for the next 12 years. I'm only 12 now. And so I said, no. And the others didn't know either. So then when I was 17, I joined the Army to get in on the tail end of the Korean War. Got out of the Army, I just turned 20, and the military got out in January, and I got to decide what am I going to do with my life. And I didn't know, because that dream went away. But then I met my wife, who was a dedicated Christian, although her dad was a Presbyterian minister. But she had dreams of being a missionary somewhere. And I met Jim Goldtoff. You remember her name? He was Missouri District President for, 15, 16 years or something like that. And he said, I'm going to Concordia Seminary in Springfield, Illinois, where they have a 6-year program to become a pastor. Really? I didn't know it. And I ended up going there. Didn't know if I'd get admitted. I didn't have a high school diploma because I was a dropout. But I took the GED test, and they made an exception because I think because my uncle was a pastor at the congregation, just on campus for many, many years. The five of my uncles were Lutheran pastors, my grandpa was. But anyway, that's how finally I got in the ministry through this. But the Lord has ways. The Lord doesn't say we all have to be a minister, but the Lord wants us to consider that's the number one thing to do. That's number one. And if he shows us another avenue, because I mentioned before, everybody uses their talents in the church for whatever job they have. So it's important then that we give ourselves to the Lord. We don't have to be a minister, but we need ministers to train people to make disciples. So I think the big message today, the message of the Great Commission, is a message of the cross. It's a message of God reaching out to all of us, reminding us that even if we are not pastors, even if God doesn't say we should be a minister full time, we are still ministers to proclaim the forgiveness in Jesus Christ to all the world. May that be our aim forever and ever. And now may that wonderful peace with God that we have through the forgiveness of our sins in Christ Jesus hold us steadfast in the faith unto life everlasting.
My all.
pray for the church of God in the name of Jesus, for all your people, according to their need. Heavenly Father, creator of all things, great and small, we pray that our hearts will be filled in Christ's teaching, and that his word may reflect to our fellow men the passion of God's love for all humanity. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of all, we pray that your Spirit would reside in each church body, and that it would live in our hearts, so that as to spread the true gospel to our fellow man. After all, Jesus' journey here on earth was to teach God's word. Open our hearts and our minds to God's word and to tell the world as we were commanded by Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Merciful Father, we pray for Pastor Dave and Joe. We pray for their safety there and definitely a safe journey to return home. We pray for all those church workers who have spent many hours and projects on behalf of the church. All should be commended for countless hours of preparation to make it a success. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we bring our prayers to you for our presidential leader, Donald Trump, and all governmental authorities. They carry a heavy load, striving to protect us and to keep our country safe from evil and to prosper in your name. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we pray for your servant and the church body that are sick, injured, or gravely ill. We pray today for Dick Burkey, Jace Milner, Mark Gray, George Parker, Bill McGuire, Bill and Helen Dunn. We also pray for those awaiting surgery. We bring to you, O Lord, our prayers up for the members that are shut-in, that are in nursing homes, especially those offer prayers for them for our serving in the military at these trying times. God will protect all in the dangerous situation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, hear our prayers through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Thank you, God. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them to the Lord.
We give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good and right and salutary that we should all times and all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, who with your only begotten Son and the Holy Spirit are one God, one Lord. In the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person and the unity in substance of majesty co-equal. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power.
His command and with His own word, we receive His testimony. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to His disciples. He said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also He took the cup after supper, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
Thank you.
that of your mercy. You would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in perfect love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lived and reigned with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Give to Ellen
the
literature.
All I can say was, wow.